on our website, highlandradio.com.
Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Emma Ryan with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up this evening, the soldier who died after his convoy came under attack in Lebanon last night was 23-year-old Private Sean Rooney. A boiled water notice for customers supplied by Ross's Regional Public Water Supply has been issued with immediate effect. Donegal County Council Road Safety Officer has urged everyone to act responsibly on the roads this Christmas, and the North West Simon community has seen a 30% increase in the number of households seeking support this year. Those stories to follow in full plus more. And we'll have all the latest in sport coming up after the break. But first in news. The soldier who died after his convoy came under attack in Lebanon last night was 23-year-old Private Sean Rooney, a native of Newtown Cunningham and a past pupil of St Eunan's College. The soldier who is undergoing treatment for serious injuries is 22-year-old County Cork native Private Shane Kearney. Aoife Cairns has more.
They were both travelling in an armoured utility vehicle which was on the way to Beirut and were part of a convoy of 8 people. One of the 2 vehicles within the convoy came under attack by a group which has been described by the head of the Irish Defence Forces as an aggressive mob. This attack sadly claimed the life of 23-year-old Private Sean Rooney from County Donegal, whose home unit is the 27th Infantry Battalion in Dundalk. It also seriously injured 22-year-old Private Shane Kearney from County Cork. Taoiseach Micheál Martin is among those to pay tribute to those who were caught up in the attack.
It is a reminder to us of the extraordinary sacrifice that our peacekeepers make on a constant basis. They operate in at times hostile and very difficult and dangerous environments, and we should always be conscious of that.
Lieutenant General Secretary Sean Clancy says the convoy attacked last night included 2 soldiers who were heading back home to attend funerals. Minister for Defence Simon Coveney says they'll get to the bottom of what happened.
Obviously we need to fully understand what happened here, why it happened, but I think today is about supporting a family.
Since last night, the UN launched a joint investigation with Lebanese armed forces into the attack. However, UNIFIL told Reuters details are still sparse and conflicting.
President Michael D. Higgins says he lost his life serving the people of Ireland, the United Nations and all those wishing for peace in our shared world. He says his thoughts are also with Private Rooney's comrades in the Irish Defence Forces.
One bears in mind as well that I want to offer sympathy as Commander-in-Chief of the Defence Forces, not only to their families, but to what for many of them was their second family, their comrades and their colleagues in training and in service at home and abroad. And they will be suffering a great grief too.
The Tánaiste told the Dáil this afternoon that the country is united in grief and mourning the loss of a brave soldier. The Dáil stood for a minute's silence in tribute this afternoon. Leo Varadkar says a full investigation into the killing will be carried out.
There will be a full investigation into this fatal incident, and this evening Minister Coveney, who's in New York, will meet with the UN Secretary General to discuss the sad loss of our Irish serviceman and the inquiry to follow. Today the House is united as we mourn this sad death and pray for the injured. Let us think of that memorial in Tibnin, of the loss it commemorates and the hope that it symbolises.
The results of the 2022 National Inpatients Experience Survey has been launched today. Nationally, 82% of patients rated their overall experience of hospital care as good or very good, with a slightly higher figure, 84%, recorded at Letterkenny University Hospital. Michaela Clark has more.
Of the 892 people admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital over the survey period and invited to participate, 401 took part, a response rate of 45%. 84% of people who were admitted to the hospital said they had a good to very good overall experience, compared to 82% nationally. Admissions and care on the ward were the highest rated stages of care, with the hospital scoring above the national average for questions on admissions. Nationally, 29% waited less than 6 hours for admission. That figure was 30% in Letterkenny. The percentage of people who waited between 6 and 12 hours was 33% nationally and 43% in Letterkenny. The figures for waiting 12 to 24 hours were similar at 24% nationally and 22.4% in Letterkenny. Letterkenny saw fewer people waiting more than 24 hours, with 4.4% doing so locally compared to 14.4% nationally. Other positive elements in Letterkenny included cleanliness, food and privacy, while areas for improvement included more time with doctors and clearer explanations of diagnosis and treatment.
Meanwhile, HICWA's Director of Health Information told Highland Radio News today that the National Inpatients Experience Survey ensures that the voice of patients is heard by those who can implement change and improve healthcare in Ireland. Rachel Flynn is the survey's programme director and says the intention is that the observations made in the surveys are acted on and the rights of all people using health and social care services are protected. Letterkenny University Hospital had 43% of people waiting 6 and 12 hours in the ED before being admitted. Rachel Flynn says this year's findings have already been reported to the hospital and the HSE.
So what we saw there for Letterkenny was that 84% of people said that they were treated with respect and dignity in the emergency department, which is a positive finding. But as you correctly state there, that a vast majority were waiting for those time periods. The 12 to 24 hour group waited longer than the national average. So again, look, obviously we reported that yesterday in terms of emergency waiting times.
A boiled water notice for customers supplied by Ross's regional public water supply has been issued with immediate effect. The notice arising out of operational and mechanical issues at Crawley Water Treatment Plant caused by the freezing weather conditions has been put in place to protect the health of approximately 10,000 customers. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Following consultation with the HSE, Irish Water and Donegal County Council, a boil water notice has been issued for customers supplied by the Ross's Regional Public Water Supply with immediate effect. The areas affected by the boiled water notice include Crawley, Lochinure, Annagry, Kincastle, Burtonport, Dunlow, Gweedore, Gola Island, Innisfree Island, and all areas and group water schemes supplied by Crawley Water Treatment Plant. A number of customers on the Ross's Regional Public Water Supply will experience disruptions today, but it's expected that a full supply will be restored later this afternoon. Customers are advised to boil water before use until further notice. Drinking water experts from Irish Water and Donegal County Council are working to rectify the issues at the treatment plant and lift the temporary notice as quickly and as safely as possible in consultation with the HSE.
Never ever drink or drug drive. That's the warning from Donegal Road Safety Working Group as the festive season approaches. The group is appealing to motorists to drive responsibly over Christmas and New Year as alcohol and drugs continue to be a significant contributory factor in fatal collisions. Brian O'Donnell, Road Safety Officer of Donegal County Council, urged everyone to act responsibly on the roads this Christmas.
That's right, the message remains the same after all these years, and we're urging again to have to do this on a regular basis, unfortunately. To act responsibly, not to drink or take drugs before driving. Anybody that steps onto a car that has consumed alcohol or drugs has put their life, plus the lives of all other road users, in danger. And it's just not worth the risk. We have to appeal all the time to people to act responsibly and look out for everybody that uses the road. Anyone that takes drugs or alcohol before and sets out to drive is irresponsible and has no respect for anybody else that uses the road. This year alone, too many families have lost a loved one as a result of a road traffic collision. That means that those people will not be sitting down at a Christmas table with their families where they should be. We need to appeal. This is a time of the year for family and friends, for people to enjoy socialising and meet up with people they haven't seen for a long time. But do it responsibly. Don't take any risks. Drive responsibly and slow down. Wear your seatbelt. Appeal again to young people if they're out at night. Do not take a lift with the driver that they feel is not in a fit capacity to drive a vehicle. Find an alternative way of getting home. Contact somebody at home, but look out for yourself and be safe, and appeal to everybody to stay safe on the roads this year.
The Northwest Simon community has seen a 30% increase in the number of households seeking support this year. So far in 2022, the organisation has assisted 243 households. Of those, 16 people were living rough, 10 were living with a threat of violence, 44 were facing the threat of eviction, and 138 households were living in conditions that equate to extreme overcrowding, unfit housing or insecure accommodation. CIO of Northwest Simon Community, Noel Daly, says the service is now struggling to cope with the demand.
Alongside the official figures, there are people in hospital living homelessness, who are living in uncertain situations, and maybe sleeping rough, or maybe suffering from sleeping rough, sleeping rough, on the couch of somebody's house, or living in the family of their friends. And many of these people often come to us seeking advice and support on how to resolve their risk of homelessness. And we've seen a very worrying figure, as you say, it's a different place. I talked to the sense increase since last year. Last year we dealt with 138 households.
And the government needs to recognise the nurses, the teachers, all of these huge numbers of people cannot afford rent in the first place.
For us, they're not collecting have any support resources at all. If they are over the threshold. Heavily reliant on fundraising.
Now, the ultimate answer is obviously to deliver the public and affordable housing on public land. We're not delivering. The real figures for this year are an additional 1,600.
Temperatures are expected to fall to minus 8 in places tonight, but Donegal will escape the worst of it. A status orange warning is in place for 19 counties until midday today, with another orange alert coming into effect from 6 o'clock for all counties bar Donegal. Met Aaron says the West and Midlands were the regions that were coldest overnight last night, while this morning's mildest temperatures were recorded at Malin Head. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Brian Cannon stressed there are no concerns at grit and supplies, grit and salt supplies at present.
No particular concerns, Greg. TAA, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, coordinate salt quantities on a national basis, and there is a reserve nationally, and we have to make a return every Monday on the volume of salt used in the previous week, so that we get our stocks replenished. We do have a number of weeks of stock available at any one time, so we're not particularly concerned. Our winter maintenance programme is demand led. If we have to treat, we treat. It's not a budgetary decision. It's really about trying to make sure that the programme is delivered for the benefit of the people, whether it's our own citizens or visitors in particular, that will be coming home for Christmas and visiting our county, and we'll be salting as and when the need is there.
It's 12 minutes past 5. It's time for a short break now, but we'll be back with more right after these. Welcome back to Highland Radio News. It's over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Emma. We start with football. The League of Ireland have released the full fixture list for the 2023 Premier Division and First Division seasons. Having announced the opening round of games earlier in the week, the clubs now know what their schedules will be for next season. Having returned to the First Division, Harps will face Galway United, Bray Wanderers and Wexford at home in the opening month, which kicks off on the 17th of February. While that period also includes away trips to Athlone Town and Longford Town. In the Premier Division, Derry City will begin their title challenge in February and early March with home games against Cork City, Dundalk and a derby with Sligo Rovers. The Candy Stripes will also have ties on the road early in the campaign at St Patrick's Athletic, the champion Shamrock Rovers and UCD. Rory Higgins' men will start the defence of their FAI Cup on the weekend of the 23rd of July. The full fixture list for both the Premier Division and the First Division are available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. A busy few days of signings at Finn Harps continued today, with the club announcing the double loan signing of Keevan Porter and Dahi McCallion from Derry City. Porter, a fullback by trade, made 3 league appearances for the Candy Stripes last year, notching up 2 assists in the 3-2 victory over Bohemians. McCallion, a towering centre-half, made his Derry City debut against UCD back in April. He has also represented Northern Ireland at underage level. Another young League of Ireland talent is heading for England. Shelburne have confirmed the departure to Oxford United of their defender, Stephen Negru. He scored on a Shell's debut against Finn Harps back in September. Real Madrid have secured the signature of one of the world's hottest properties. They've agreed a €60 million package for 16-year-old Endrick. The forward will remain at his current club in South America, Palmares, until he's 18 years of age. Now to Gaelic Games. Donegal's All-Ireland winning captain in 2012, Michael Murphy, has made his first move since retiring. He has been confirmed as one of the pundits on the GA Go streaming service for 2023. With the departure of Sky Sports, leaving a gap in the broadcasting spheres, GA Go are set to set up and carry a substantial portion of the load for next season. Michael Murphy joins the likes of Tommy Walsh, Mark O'Shea, Owen Carrigan and Paddy Andrews as a number of their pundits for their coverage next year. A homecoming reception will take place at the Fun Valley Centre this evening to honour the recent European cross-country medal winners from a Fun Valley Athletic Club. Sean McGinley won silver with the under 20 Ireland men's team in Turin last Sunday, while the Flanagan twins Eilish and Roisin led the Ireland senior women to bronze in Italy. That reception gets underway shortly at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the Fun Valley area and you have a bit of time in your hands this evening, why not drop in to the Fun Valley Centre? In boxing, the Ulster Elite Championship finals will take place in the Guildhall in Derry this evening. 13 star studded contests will come under the hammer. Flying the flag for Donegal this evening will be Letterkenny featherweight puncher Paddy McShane and Ilias Golden Gloves welterweight Cathair Gormley. The action is set to get underway there at 8 o'clock tonight. There will be lots of Irish involvement on the opening night of the PDC World Darts Championship. Tyrone's Mickey Mansell is first up, facing Ben Robb, with the winner of that tie going through to take on defending champion Peter Wright later in the night. Meath's Cian Barry takes on South Africa's Grant Sampson, and Nathan Rafferty from Coal Island in Tyrone will face Jerome Watamina of the Netherlands. Ulster's Andrew Warwick has been hit with a three-week ban for a dangerous tackle on Sale's Manu Tulagi. The incident occurred during last week's defeat to the Premiership side in the Heineken Champions Cup. The prop will miss this week's game against La Rochelle and the following week's ERC Derby with Connacht, but Warwick could return for the New Year's Day meeting with Munster if he attends a tackling coaching course. And in a snooker, Mark Allen will be in last 16 action at the English Open this evening. The Antrim man will play the winner of the meeting between Zio Zintong and John Astley. Astley currently leads there 3-0. There's already been an upset today. Ronnie O'Sullivan's out. He's been beaten by Martin Gould by 4-1. And there was no such luck for Mark Williams. There was no such worries, rather, for Mark Williams. He was an easy winner, whitewashing Matthew Salt by 4-0. There you go, Emma. That's your sport. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisín. And now it's over to Farm and News with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here in Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up this evening, we'll hear about how the Acres Agri-Environmental Scheme has been massively oversubscribed. But first, watch out next year for plenty of hedgerow cutting on farmland. Siobhan Walsh, Sustainability Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. You've been writing this week about hedgerows, and I see the expression toilet brush hedges, which when you say it and you think about it, I think most people will know exactly what you're talking about. But there are plans for 2023 which will mean we could see quite a lot of hedgerows being cut right to the ground throughout the country.
Yeah, Crystal, it sounds like a bit of a drastic measure, but farmers will actually be cutting hedges in 2023. Coppicing, I suppose, is the word that we'll use instead of cutting. So there'll be coppicing hedges in 2023 in order to improve those hedges, the quality of those hedges. So basically, a toilet brush hedge, it's as you picture it. So it's basically, you turn your toilet brush upside down and you have a stick on the bottom and you have a lot of branches on top. So basically, these hedges have been managed badly. They've been topped at a certain height. As a result, all of the branches have tillered out at a certain point, and then the bottom of the hedge basically hasn't got any branches, and that's not very good for, you know, from a habitat point of view. It doesn't provide shelter to animals that are in the fields. You know, if there's a breeze going through, it doesn't provide shelter or protection for wildlife that might live in the hedge. And as well, then there's a lot of branches missing, and those branches could provide food and food for wildlife, but as well store carbon. So basically, what should have happened to those hedges when they were planted is that they should have been planted and clipped, and then you keep cutting them as they come up. So in this case, Chris, we're talking about, you know, a managed hedge, and it's important that we have a good diversity of hedges on our farm. So we want some managed, we want some escaped hedges, and we want some rows of trees, because all different types of wildlife prefer different types of hedges, and some of our wildlife like a managed hedgerow. So basically, if you're planting a hedge, you should be planting it, cutting it at the bottom, allowing a lot of branches to come out. Then the following year, cut it just above the growing point, a lot of branches will come out again. And if we keep doing that, then we'll have a good thick hedge. So basically, any of the toilet brush hedges, that didn't happen. And coppicing is a way of fixing that.
And this is all part of the new environmental scheme known as ACRES. And so farmers who are involved in this, this will be part of, come in under part of their payments to do this in a certain manner.
Yes, so this is one of the measures under ACRES. So farmers can choose to coppice their hedge. So farmers will have looked at their hedges and said, right, that hedge needs improvement. I'm going to pick coppicing as a measure under ACRES, and then they can get paid to do that measure. And so I suppose, Chris, it's very important to let the wider public know that this will be happening, because, you know, often we see pictures on social media of hedges being cut, and, you know, the public some of the public get very angry when they see hedges being cut. But it's important to know that from next year, under ACRES, there'll be a lot of farmers cutting hedges in order to improve their hedges. And, you know, it's important that the public know that this is what farmers are doing, and that they're doing it for a very good reason. And then, of course, it's important that farmers do it right as well and get the correct advice, because there's certain hedges, you know, that you shouldn't do this to. You know, if your hedge is in good condition, if it's a good thick hedge, you don't need to coppice your hedge. If you have a lovely row of trees on your farm, that's a benefit to biodiversity as well. So we're targeting these toilet brush hedges under that ACRES scheme. And of course, then as well, when we are coppicing those hedges, it's important to have a contractor that knows what they're doing. You know, so that they're once the hedge is cut, you know, they're cutting it at an angle so the water will flow off. Maybe you need to go along after the saw has been in and just clean up some of those branches with a shears. There'll be a lot of small branches along the bottom of the hedge. And maybe in some cases there could be gaps in the hedge where you need to plant new trees. And of course then safety as well. You know, a lot of hedgerows in Ireland, there could be wire in the hedge, there could be stones in the hedge, so it's important that they're all removed before the saw goes in to avoid any accidents. But just so the public know, you know, when farmers go about doing this action under ACRES, they're doing it to improve their hedge, to improve the quality of the habitat for biodiversity, and hopefully then as well helping to store carbon and other things like that along the way.
I suppose it's fair to say many farmers over the years maybe didn't pay too much attention to the hedges, so that for some this could be quite a departure. And how do we educate them? How are they going to know exactly what to do? Is there going to be a booklet or sort of a roadmap as to how to cut the hedge in a certain way?
Well, there's advice there from the department. There's guidelines that you'll have to follow under ACRES, and all farmers, when they're doing their ACRES application, you have to do it with an advisor. They should be getting those guidelines off their advisor and getting advice from their advisor. We have an article in the Farmers Journal, so I put up an article online this week just highlighting the fact that people are doing this, and there's a link to an article on advice on coppicing hedge. Excuse me, I'm copying hedges in the Farmers' Journal. And look, just, I suppose, that's the main thing, Chris. Don't rush into doing this as well. Get the right advice before you start to cut the hedge. You know, if you have a hedge full of blackthorns and whitethorns, and they are toilet brush hedges, those trees are you know, they're ideal for copsing because they cope well with pruning, and a lot of branches will grow once those hedges have been coppiced.
Yeah, so there's going to be quite a bit of time and labour involved. Just from a monetary point of view, I suppose some people will think, well, is it really worthwhile because I'm diverting my time from maybe doing something else? So because of acres, I suspect it is worthwhile.
Yeah, I suppose, look, everyone has a different acres plan done up, and they have a mix of measures in there, and some of them are going to cost some money and some of them aren't going to cost as much. So, and you know, you can get up to a maximum of about 7,000. So I suppose it's the overall acre scheme and the overall plan that someone has done with their advisor will determine whether it's worth the time or not. There is quite a lot of work in copsing, and then as well you'll have to fence the hedge either side to keep livestock away from it. You know, if you have a sheep farm, that fencing is going to cost quite an amount of money. You know, it could be €7 a metre. Those are factors to consider as well. So aside from actually just getting in a saw and cutting the hedge, there's the maintenance after as well. The guidelines will set out everything that has to be done. So, you know, while the copsing mightn't cost a lot, maybe the fencing afterwards and everything like that will add to the cost as well. But I suppose it's your overall acres package. And Chris, I suppose this is if you get into acres as well is the other thing.
Yes, and on that, no surprise, the acre scheme has been well oversubscribed.
Yeah, no, so Chris, and that's on the front page of the paper this week. There's about 16,000 farmers who've applied and won't get into the scheme this year because it's at a limit of 30,000 farmers. There is another tranche next year. And, you know, it's a positive and a negative. Disappointing that those farmers didn't get in, but also great to see that it was oversubscribed. And as well, while it was oversubscribed by 16,000, there was also an awful lot of farmers who didn't bother to apply because they were, I suppose, access to acres is on a tiered basis, and if you were in tier 2 or tier 2B or tier 3, you weren't as inclined to apply because you would have had to pay your advisor, and you knew you had a low chance of getting into the scheme. While I'd like to see all the farmers getting into the scheme, while they didn't get in, it's a huge positive, and to see that so many farmers want to take these environmental actions under the scheme.
That was Siobhan Walsh, sustainability specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news this week, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnellogue has announced that the Gloss Plus advance under the Green Low Carbon Agri-Environmental Scheme has commenced. These payments of up to €2,000 will be paid out to Gloss participants who undertook exceptional environmental commitments. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Well, I think Minister O'Brien has recognised.
And a look at this evening's weather. Mostly dry with clear spells tonight. Pockets of freezing fog may develop. Lowest temperatures again reaching minus 5 degrees or locally lower in the south of the county. And a look at today's headlines. The soldier who died after his convoy came under attack in Lebanon last night was 23-year-old Private Sean Rooney, a native of Newtown Cunningham and a past pupil of St Eunan's College. The soldier who is undergoing treatment for serious injuries is 22-year-old County Cork native Private Shane Kearney. The introduction of the cost rental model. A boil water notice for customers supplied by Ross's regional public water supply has been issued with immediate effect. The notice arising out of operational and mechanical issues at Crawley Water Treatment Plant caused by the freezing weather conditions have been put in place to protect the health of approximately 10,000 customers. Never ever drink or drug drive. That's the warning from Donegal Road Safety Working Group as the festive season approaches. The group is appealing to motorists to drive responsibly over Christmas and New Year as alcohol and drugs continue to be a significant contributory factor in fatal collisions. And the Northwest Simon community has seen a 30% increase in the number of households seeking support this year. So far in 2022, the organisation has assisted 243 households. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Our next update will be at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of December. The death has occurred of Paddy Grant, Garvery, Burnfoot, reposing at his home from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Removal from there on Sunday morning at 11:15, going to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11:30, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Paddy's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family Fires Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, so care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Rose Cushnan, née White, Ballina, Tamney, Fannad, Donegal, and formerly of Carfin, Motherwell, and Toome, County Antrim. Rose's remains will repose at her late residence from 12 noon tomorrow, with rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. Removal from there at 11:30 on Sunday morning, arriving in St Columba's Church Massmount for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Mary's Fanavalti and St Columba's Massmount Facebook page. The death has taken place of Eugene Bradley, 7 St Oliver's Avenue, Buncrana. Eugene's remains will repose at his late residence from 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Mater Hospital Intensive Care Unit, care of any family member or Porter Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridie Byrne, Mallon Town. Her remains are reposing in St Colum Kill Village Oratory, Clonmany, until 8 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Mallon. The death has taken place of Sean O'Shaughnessy, Ballyhearn, Kilmacrenan, reposing at his late residence until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock, with rosary nightly at 9. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from his residence on Saturday morning at 11:30, going to St Columba's Church, Kilmacrenan, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. It can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Fires Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Billy Broderick, Riverdale Heights, Killy Beggs, formerly of Yall, County Cork. Removal from his home at 10:30 tomorrow morning to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killy Beggs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The mass will be streamed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family Fires Only, please. The house is strictly private. The death has taken place of Frank Houston, Brocca, Clohan, Donegal. Frank's remains are reposing at his late residence with family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glen Finn, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with interment afterwards in Kiltievogue Cemetery, Glen Finn. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family Fires Only, please, donations if desired to the Alzheimer's Society Donegal branch, care of Marley Funeral Directors. In agreement with him. The death has taken place of Bozina Gruzuska, Railway Court, Letterkenny, reposing overnight in St. Eunan's Cathedral for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon, followed by interment in New Leck Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. And the death has taken place of Billy Doheny, 17 Muckish Avenue, Letterkenny, formerly of Ard O'Donnell. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest Mountain Top this evening at 5:30, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 6 o'clock. Reposing overnight for 3 o'clock Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon. It can be viewed online on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family Fires Only, please, donations if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.